You've heard about Jeremiah, I think, before. If not, you know that he has suffered a lot for his Lord, for the word that he proclaimed. And in fact, preaching, proclaiming God's word in many circumstances and countries is a challenge in itself. I remember in communism time, we were taught that religion, faith, is an opium, they said. Opium is a poison. And that they would say true communists should not believe in God, because believing in God was called foolishness, treason, and many other names. Then came the freedom from communism. Praise God. We thought it would be easier. But was it easier? 90% of Albanians in Kosovo are of Muslim background. In communism time, and in the time of Serbian oppression, Islam was not very strong. It was nominal, it was there all the time, but people were claiming that they belonged to it. We are different from Serbs because they are Russian Orthodox. We're different from them in language, in many other things, history, everything else. So Albanians, to be different from them, wanted even to be different in religion, in what they believe. That's why they kept Islam, they kept Islam in their hearts and in the way they used to live. Well, nowadays, after the liberation of the country and after becoming independent, people in Kosovo want more to go back to their own faith. They want more to belong to old beliefs, as they say, to Islam. And it's becoming more common to observe Muslim traditions, to go to mosques for prayers. So we have a lot of people going to mosques, even more than ever. People are becoming more radicalized in the way they live, in the way they believe, and in the way they behave and think. Now, we are, as I mentioned, we are a small group of believers in the town of Peja, Kosovo, a very small, fragile church in our area. We estimate that Peja is about 80,000 people very closely knit together, and we are the only church that gathers in Peja, the only church, evangelical church in town. And every Sunday, more than around 40 to 50 people gather together in the church to praise and worship Jesus Christ our Lord. And the word is preached there. We try to preach it as boldly as possible. It's becoming hard. It's becoming much harder to believe in Jesus, as it's considered, as Assad said, to be foreign to Albanians. Serbs consider themselves Christians, and they say they are Christians. And if we say that they are Christians, people around us, even family and friends, immediately they call us traitors or call us Serbs. But we continue preaching God's word, no matter what opposition we encounter while we preach. We are called by God to deliver difficult and strong messages to people around us. On several occasions, Jeremiah, as the prophet, was asked to deliver a very difficult message to people of his day. The same thing applies here in chapter 15. He's being asked by the Lord to deliver a message that would make him even more unpopular than he was, if that were possible. And he's struggling to be faithful to God and to the people because of it. And on that background, Tim read a lot, many verses here, but I would like to turn attention to words written in verse 16. Yeah. In this verse, he opens his heart to tell us how he handled the word of God, how he did it in the past, and how he knows that he will need to do it, to handle it even now in the present, if he is to be faithful to his calling. And he says, "When your words came, I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight, for I bear your name, O Lord God Almighty." We must understand that these words are coming from a man who suffered much at the hands of his contemporaries, his family, his friends. Why? Because of his faith in God and because of his faithfulness to God, to preaching his word. These are the words of a man who was not an outgoing man. I've read he was very shy. He was shy, he was sensitive. He didn't enjoy affliction, of course. He was not a masochist. He didn't like to be persecuted. In a way, he was like our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sense that he felt sometimes like a lamb going to the slaughter every time he would speak about God's word. But this is how he responded to the challenge in the past, and he knows that he will have to do it now and in the future to continue to preach God's word faithfully. He says, "When your words came, I ate them. They were my joy in my heart's delight, for I bear your name, O Lord God Almighty." We had an Easter service together. In fact, the team were there. Remember, dancing and everything? We try to have, for these occasions, have joint meetings with people around us. I said we are the only church, but there are some small groups working in different parts of our town. So we had a joint service with a group of believers of a small town next to us and some others from Peja. And we as church leaders, we sat down and began to think, to rethink again, to turn attention to the work of God and to the work that God has called us, and to consider and to think what he expects from us. Because we need to be faithful to him and to preach God's word to our people, to our generation. Morning, Anthony. God expects of us to speak the word. So this is a challenge that's facing all of us in the age of compromise. There and here and everywhere, this is the age of compromise. The temptation is to dilute the message, to make it acceptable to people. To dilute it and to make it more, as you know, pleasing to people. We are pushed by others, by circumstances, to be more careful of what we preach and how we preach. But this word is God's word. Let's go back to Jeremiah and we see one thing. First, he had a great heritage. Jeremiah had a great heritage. Now, we know, and I know, that Jeremiah was an Old Testament prophet. And that made him a special case, because he was an Old Testament prophet. He was called to be God's spokesman. But there's a sense in which we are all prophets, spelled with a small p. We're all prophets, like Jeremiah. We are all called by God to be God's spokesmen and spokeswomen. The word of God is given to us so that we can pass the word on to the others. Jeremiah is a great challenge to us because he says, "When your words came," what a great heritage to have. He had the word of God in his possession. He had it. It was given to him. God's word, he says, came to him. He found God's word in his own day. There are many parts of the world, brothers and sisters, and peoples of the world to whom the word of God has not yet been proclaimed, who still don't have God's word. They never found it. In Operation World, I read 2-3 years ago, I think, it's estimated that there are more than 800 million people in our world who still haven't been reached with the word of God. They haven't heard the message of the word of God. They've never heard once the message of the Bible. Like Jeremiah, you in this country have a good heritage, better than ours, I know. Those of you who live in English-speaking world have a great heritage, and especially you who live in these islands, you've been favored by God because you had the word of God for many generations. Probably your grandfathers were Christians, even before that, your fathers and mothers. Mine wasn't. We are Muslims. We are first generation, so you had a better heritage than we have. Every week, I know in this country, from many pulpits, God's word is proclaimed again and again. Excellent. In Kosovo, when we think about this, we think sometimes we feel like, as Elijah did in his day, there aren't many faithful people left who are fruitful and faithful to God. We see this every day in our area. But we are trying to be as faithful as possible to teach from the word about Jesus Christ our Lord, and they need him. We pray every day for a revival similar to the words Amos spoke. Remember Amos? He felt there was a famine, but he said we need another famine in the land. Not a famine of thirst of water, but a famine of hearing God's word. Like in Amos 8:12, he says, men will stagger from sea to sea and wander from north to east, searching for the word of the Lord. Imagine if that happened to Kosovo, or to any country, in fact. Now, we, Asat and I and others in the church, we are living in days when there are small things for God, very small things, but not in this country. So please have in mind that there is a great need for God's word elsewhere in other parts of the world. There's a great need for Jesus Christ in Kosovo. People need to know the truth about the salvation and forgiveness that Jesus Christ only gives and brings to us. It comes through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. The cross needs to be proclaimed every day, every moment of the day in Kosovo. You have a great heritage, of course, and those of you who have such heritage need to answer a question. What are you doing with the word of God when it comes to you? Jeremiah tells us what he did and when the word of God came to him. So Jeremiah had the word of God, a great heritage. Now he had a great response. He made a great response. He says, when your words came to me, I ate them. He ate them. He didn't just say then, when God's word came to him, he preached them to others. Of course, he did that. That was his calling in life, in fact. But first of all, he ate them. He didn't say when God's word came to him, he heard them, or listened to them, or discussed them, or memorized them. Of course, these are important. But he says he ate them. What a challenge this is. He couldn't have too much of them. He couldn't stop eating God's word. He was so hungry to receive them and digest them until they became a vital part of his own life, of his own bloodstream. He didn't pick and choose what he wanted to eat. That's another story. People pick and choose. We were yesterday in London with the Johnsons. Thank you for that. And we took Asat and Samira for the first time to a Chinese buffet style, you know, eat as much as you want. I see as much as you can. Anyway, so Asat didn't know some of the food, and he, by the way, never eats anything sweet at all from his birth. And he would fill the plate, go there, and he would start eating whatever it was, wings or something. Oh, sweet, he would take it away. Oh, nice, he would eat it. It went on for some time. So he was picking, I like this, don't like this. I can eat this, I can't eat that. But Jeremiah didn't do it. Jeremiah ate everything that God said in his word. He didn't pick and choose what he wanted to eat or what appealed to him, sweet or easy. He didn't stand in judgment of God's word and say, I'll take that, but I don't like this. He never said so. He took the bitter with the sweet, as you say. He took those words on judgment as well as those words full of blessing, and he ate them, both. He fed his soul on the warnings, but also on the promises of the Bible. This was his diet, his daily diet. It was a balanced diet. All those things that God said to him, he not only tasted, but he swallowed. He ate them because we all know the Bible says the man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that God proceeds out of the mouth, that they proceed out of the mouth of God. He took it all in his inner being. He received it with meekness. And clearly Jeremiah had matured in his relationship with God. If you eat whatever God gives you, you mature in God. Now we can agree that there are some things we find in this book, in the Bible, that are hard to understand. Some are harder to accept. We don't like them. But this is the word of God. This is settled in heaven forever. We can't change it. We can't dilute it. All of it is word of God, and it will always be the word of God. It's a great treasure that we have. So Jeremiah had a great heritage, he had a great response, he made a great response, but he also entered into great experience. As he found the words of God, he ate them. But he tells us, they were my joy and my heart's delight. That's an experience. He was deeply affected with everything that came out of the mouth of the Lord. Everything that was God-breathed thrilled him to bits. He liked it. The very fact that these words were God's words produced a joy and delight in his heart. He knew they were God's words and he loved them. Even though some of them were very difficult to preach to others, he felt the power of the word of God in his innermost being, first of all. Now, we all need to feel first in our hearts what we are passing on to others. And the only way to feel the power of the word of God is to allow it to go through our system as the word of God until it affects first our own entire thinking and living. However difficult the message may be, however severe the chastening, however terrible the denunciations that the word makes for us, however frightening the rebukes and the judgments, God tells us in his word that we are not good at all. That's difficult to grasp for a non-believer. He tells us we are sinners away from God. It's very hard, very difficult, but we need to get it. If you are frightened, if we get the rebukes, judgments, we should get because it's God's word. And we have another great challenge. That is to take it and eat it. And love it. And to have our hearts with joy and delight. This man, Jeremiah, he knew how powerful God's word could be. Because God said to him, in Jeremiah 23:29, he says, God asks him, is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces? Nevertheless, he ate it, he digested it, and he owed his life by it and died for it. He never questioned it. He rejoiced in the word. Oftentimes it wounded him and pronounced misery on others. All other times, it encouraged him, brought comfort to him and to others. Like in Jeremiah 31:3, he says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. What a comfort, what a joy to have for yourself and to tell others that. I'm sure he could hardly wait to eat and bite the truth. But whether bitter or sweet, all the words of the Lord that came to him were to be the joy and rejoicing of his heart. That is the way it was in the past for Jeremiah. But in this chapter, he's struggling for it to be the way in his present time, in his life. It was a struggle he eventually overcame. And perhaps the last thought will help us be the same. So he had a great heritage. He made a great response. He entered into a great experience, but he also enjoyed a great privilege. What a privilege is this? He says, when your words came to me, I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight, for I bear your name, O Lord God Almighty. What an honor, what a privilege to be given to any person. In Jeremiah's day, the name of the Lord was despised, was blasphemed, but to him it was an unspeakable privilege to bear it. Everybody else was saying God is not good. He was saying it's a privilege to be a son or a child of this God. It wasn't easy, of course. It never is. The world is hostile. The world is enemy. Moses felt similar, but Moses tells us in his writing, says, he esteemed being of Christ, God, to be greater than all treasures of Egypt. He left all treasures of Egypt and went to work for God. What are we trying to achieve and what are we trying to teach those who hear us proclaim the word of God? It's a great privilege to bear the name Christian, even in Kosovo, everywhere else. It's a great privilege to be called a Christian. It's a great privilege to be one of his followers. It's a great privilege to take the Word of God to our compatriots, contemporaries, and others. The Word of God is a message. It's not easy to preach, of course, anywhere, especially with us. But we need to be faithful if we want to do the whole guidance of God. Our world is not an easy place to preach it. Our small country is not an easy place to preach the Word. People are not going to receive it with joy or as we would like them to receive it. But we are to make sure that we first receive it as God's Word with joy. And then we are assured that there will be a joy for others to do likewise. I know that especially Sat and I and others who work as workers in the church, we have a great commitment to the Great Commission. It's a big thing for us, the main thing for us. We all have a part to play. Let's go for it. Let's go for it. I just finished that saying that God's Word is, in fact, is about Jesus Christ. He took our sins, and the Bible says that he nailed them on the cross. Jesus rose again, and he lives to give us hope for future and eternal life. I'm glad that you taught us some words about love, and that's what the Word is. It shows us love. I read somewhere, I think in China, you know, the church is small, underground, hidden. And at first, there was only 5 believers in the group, and they had 5 Bibles. But then the group grew to 20. They had no Bibles. And they would all go to Pastor, Pastor, I want a Bible. And they would cry. Pastor would cry and say, what can I do? He got the Bible, got 5 or 6 pages, and gave them, this is your Word. Gave them all 5 or 6 pages each. And they said, listen, Christ is in every page of the Bible. Christ is in God's Word. Our situation, not easy, of course not easy, but as Tim read, the last verses are a promise to us. They're a promise to us that God will be with us. God will fight with our enemies, you know what I mean. So those verses offer us an encouragement because they're a promise from us. Thank you, Jesus, for being with us. Thank you for your Word that we can read, we can learn, and we can also tell others about it. We can't do it on our own because we are weak. We sometimes don't know things for ourselves, but you are always with us. Your Holy Spirit is with every word that we try to convey to others. Thank you for God's Word, and we would like to be like Jeremiah was. Eat your words. Have them in our bloodstream. Have them in our life. And then from what we learn there, we tell the others. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.